This is Boss Barrel Radio, Ryan. Boss Barrel Radio.
Go to Boss?
Boss, that's right. Boss Barrel Radio. Episode Game of the Year 2010 edition. It's on now.
Gotti.
The Gotti's. Gotti. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
We're here.
We've got our lists set out, and we're going to go through them and debate them. Some of them are pretty much unanimous already. For what we feel like, but other ones are going to have a little bit more of a worthwhile discussion on it. So we'll save the actual Game of the Year one for a little later.
Yeah, make you listen for a while.
Yeah.
You guys
bait them in.
Just want to hear what our Game of the Year is.
Our Game of the Year.
You got to wait.
Right.
So what's that first category?
First category is... most surprising game of the year. The game that took us by shock, completely unexpected to be really good. Game that goes under the radar for 2010.
I'll go ahead and say it.
Well, you've got, everybody has their list right here. Do you remember what was yours?
I think I had Transformers.
Oh, definitely you had Transformers.
Yeah.
So our full list is going to be Halo Reach, Red Dead Redemption, Singularity, Transformers, Darksiders, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood 2, Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood, sorry. I think that's it.
Well, Brotherhood 2 was pretty fun, too. I mean, they could both be in there.
I don't know.
You just heard mine. Transformers.
Did you say Singularity?
Singularity, yes. Okay. I did say Singularity.
The only gripe I have with Singularity is I played it before, earlier this year. It was called Bioshock 2. But it was, you know...
But it had a better story.
Eh? You think so?
Griff, how awesome was the story for Bioshock 2?
Lame.
Okay.
I don't care for the story of Bioshock 2 at all.
I didn't think the story was anything spectacular, though. And then it was just the same gameplay. The same exact gameplay.
Are you saying for Bioshock 2?
Make a bubble of time?
Oh, you know, I'm sure maybe you can. Maybe maybe bees,
no,
bubble
no,
of time.
No, I completely agree that they're like very similar.
Bees all the time.
Very,
I don't know what you're talking
very
about.
Similar gameplay, but I don't know. Like, I feel like Singularity was different enough that I enjoyed it.
But what about the little sister?
Yeah, what about her?
Yeah.
The little sister.
I don't know.
Or the big sister.
You played the multiplayer first, both of those things.
Yes, I would play multiplayer. Singularity multiplayer over Bioshock 2.
Boom. But what about the little sister?
Point in my favor.
This is true. I'm just saying that it's been done before. That's not my number one candidate for this category.
Sister.
Little sisters. I mean, I've got four of them. Yeah.
Jesus.
Shout out to all of you.
So, you guys are arguing between Singularity and Bioshock 2, but Transformers is not.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, why not Transformers? That's my favorite.
Why not Transformers?
So.
Oh, you're saying you're giving a counter argument for what else?
Yes.
Well, your other nominations.
Yes. So.
Anything you got? What do you think, John? What do you think is your most surprising game this year?
You just said.
Well, no, I mean, I'm back and forth on Singularity and Reach.
Yeah.
But Reach, like, that was supposed to be a hit.
No, it was supposed to sell copies. It wasn't supposed to be good. Because I mean,
right.
Let's look at Halo 3 and let's look at Halo ODST. When's the last time a Halo game was good like that?
Yeah. All right. Well,
Combat Evolved. That's the last time.
Halo 3, people. That was
it was okay.
ODST
back. Wasn't even a game. I mean, that should have been a $10 downloadable.
Yeah, but they had a campaign in there, and I played it.
Remember Halo Wars?
I don't know where the money was spent on that, because it was probably all voice acting. I'm sure Nathan Fillion is expensive as shit.
Dude, he was in Halo Reach?
Yeah, he was.
Ooh.
I told he's the same character. The same character as he was in Halo ODST.
I still don't remember
Sergeant
that at all.
Buck.
I don't remember that section at all.
Okay, he's not in it. In it, his voice is in it. Because it's when you're in the stupid helicopter. Yeah.
Need Tony to like fly over there.
He needs you. No, he needs you to help him, like take out some banshees around this area that fly he's trying there. To evacuate from. He's in it.
Captain.
But anyway, I think Reach was more surprising to me just because I expected it to just be another downward slope of horror game.
I think Halo Reach had a lot of kind of cool moments that really surprised me and made me think this game was a good game in the Halo franchise.
For me, Halo Reach was...
And made Halo actually an interesting thing to me.
Yeah.
Agreed. For me, Halo was the true Halo Reach was the true sequel to Halo 3, even though it's a prequel.
Yeah,
it was the one that came after it, and it happened like that. And
remember Reach?
God, thinking.
Remember. Never forget. Never okay. forget.
Also, I got it. Also, first time in a while that a Halo game actually made me consider playing multiplayer.
Yeah,
because before, I didn't really care.
Yes and no. Firefight's been done before.
No, I'm not even counting Firefight. Oh. Just in general. Like I thought like I started playing Halo again and I was like, ooh, this is fun again.
But there are jetpacks, so I cannot knock your argument.
Well, I mean, so if you want to make an actual argument for Halo Reach versus Transformers, I would like to hear why.
But is it surprising to you that Transformers game is good?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, okay.
Way more than Halo Reach.
Okay.
Definitely.
Way more.
I think Transformers was a phenomenal game. It had its flaws, but for a licensed game that was... Who was the developer on it? It was like a Raven?
High Moon.
Yeah. Like, and they had done what before?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think they did the demo for Transformers.
Yeah, so completely unknown studio for the most part, and a bad thing to be going in on, which is a Halo or a licensed game, especially Transformers, which has never been good before.
Even after these two games with the movies came out, they were still, you know, trying to make a Transformers game.
That's fair. Yep. That's fair.
There was a lot of things that were done really, really well, like the starting with either campaign, if you like. The
main aspect of that game, which was transforming whenever you wanted.
Yeah,
and how badass it looked, and how easy it was.
That's right.
That's
turning into a truck on the fly,
yeah,
or jet, or what have you,
or breakdancing in and out of your transformation,
or breakdancing.
Hey, some Transformers jazz. Do that,
or the end credits.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The end credits were freaking awesome.
Credits of the year
when
right
everybody
there.
Gets out of a Bumblebee. That was awesome. I don't know. For me, it was just absolutely. It was great. It's a great multiplayer and completely unexpected. Like the minute that I played the demo in like a retail establishment, I was like, all right, I'm sold. Mm-hmm. This game's great. I got to go buy it myself and play it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm with you. With
and
the
I know you are all on board. I mean, you love it. How about you, John? It's no.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'll concede to Transformers.
Okay.
Good man.
All just right. I mean, because I'll agree that, okay, while Halo had something that you could compare it to that was good, and they just finally found that they got back in it, into that groove again, with Transformers, there was no groove. They finally just, like, broke the mold and made that a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck really well to Transformers, like, fiction.
And I hope to God there is a sequel.
Yeah,
because sure.
But the only thing you could complain about that they did not stick with the fiction was flipping Megatron not being giant gun. But
right, yeah.
A tank is a giant gun.
That and not have any cover, but...
Right, yeah, that was the only...
It worked for the most
fine.
Part. I mean, I think...
Or for Cybertron, too.
Well, if there were cover systems, then it would eliminate a lot of the driving part of it, I feel.
Probably.
So,
how sweet would it be if you could drive and then just hit button to go into cover?
That, I think,
transform
would be awesome.
Into cover.
Crash into cover and transform.
Wow.
Like,
I hope you're listening,
cool.
High Moon.
Yeah, I think that's enough to talk about. I think we got it all fleshed out for most surprising game of the year. I think I can remember
okay.
it. Yeah, so let's move on to the next category. Kind of the other hand of this is the biggest letdown of 2010.
Hmm.
Ooh, we got
list? Well, our list is
it's a very high quality list.
Lost Planet 2, oh, yeah. Final Fantasy 13, Alpha Protocol, Crackdown 2, Dark Void, and Ryan wants to argue for Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
Shattered Dimensions.
Excuse me.
Shattered. You know what? That game, while the Spider-Man aspect, you know, I should have known what I was getting into when I saw it played. It's a Spider-Man game, so it can't really be a letdown because there can't be that many high
hopes
like,
for it. I feel like it met the bar of Spider-Man games. Yes. Like,
was there swinging?
Yeah, there was swinging. There
was there bad voice acting?
There's Neil Patrick Harris.
Excellent.
Playing two different Spider-Mans.
Was there some dimensions?
Yeah.
Because that's in the name
of
it.
How many D's were there?
It's
almost as many D's as Tron.
Is there X
3DX?
Almost.
Almost.
I mean, I only gave it 3 stars, so I won't say it's a good game. I'm just saying, if you like you some Spider-Man, it's a Spider-Man game.
Yeah. Spidey.
Spidermans.
About Dark Void, Ryan? That was another one you suggested as a bummer.
I suggested it.
Agree with you. That was a pretty bummer. That was a pretty big bummer.
Yeah, but really, I felt like expectations really going Rocket into Dark Void was not a
My
not
expectations
set very
going
high.
Into it were high. But, you know.
I wanted some Rocket Man.
I was cool with vertical cover.
Rocket Man.
I was excited about that sort of aspect, cover-based shooter, where you could just fly whenever you want or take cover whenever
because
you want.
Because it was hyped so much about that.
Right. And, that was the bullet points of the product.
And what else was there?
And Nolan North let us all down.
Yeah.
So what else is there?
Crackdown 2? I think Crackdown 2 isn't terrible.
Two.
I think it let me down in a story regard kind of way. Like, I was just hoping that there would be some kind of focus or something
like,
to
there
do.
There could be so much more to Crackdown,
like,
right. But instead it's just nonsense
like,
again.
Like, I mean, honestly, like, you guys say that you were fine with it. How long did you fucking play that game?
All the way.
15 hours, probably,
all
maybe.
All the way.
All the way. You can beat that game probably in about 5 hours.
No,
you
but that's what I'm saying. You can do pretty much everything there is to do in the main part of that game really quickly.
But there is more to do after. I mean, you can beat it, and then there's a bunch of crap you can go and do.
Yeah, a million orbs to collect.
Well, and then the other downer thing. Yeah, there's a million orbs to collect. How many of those millions of orbs do you need?
500,000.
No.
Like, well, there's an achievement for all million.
So, like, you max out your level so quickly that it's just like...
No, you get to level 5, getting from 5 to 6 is basically 500 million orbs.
Okay, but they patched that stuff in later, right?
I don't think they did.
From 5 to 6?
They gave you an actual reason to go from 5 to 6 later.
That's what
you
I'm saying.
That wasn't with the game.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, was that a...
Or from even 4 to 5.
That was a downloadable thing.
Yeah, that gets a downloadable
from even
thing.
4 to 5 took a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I just waited for nighttime and punched the shit out of stuff.
I just feel like that Crackdown isn't a huge letdown because it's more of like a potential disappointment where it's like,
yeah,
this is a series that could do so much more things in it. And once you got through the first set of, like, round of missions in Crackdown 2, and it's just like, okay, well, you have to go do some freak breaches. Then you gotta go scale this building. And then you gotta go, turn this thing on underground. And you do those 4 mission types, you know, 10 times a piece, and that's the game. It's repetitive, but it's what it was before, and it did enough things to make it playable and fun.
I don't think they said, like, this is gonna be so much different. I don't remember.
I don't
remember. There's freaks.
Yeah,
freaks.
They
went with
the
freaks.
There was also that weird thing of like not being able to have like crossing over. Was it your progression didn't carry over? Like if you and I went through the whole campaign.
Oh yeah,
progress it in my world.
No, it's the host player's campaign would progress, but your stats would increase.
Yeah,
you could take your character from game to game.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have parity to your world that you were playing in.
Yeah,
but you also there wasn't like orbs that you've already collected. If you already got them in your world, they weren't in your friend's world for you to collect.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
correct,
just saying. Like,
I mean, I think correct,
if I beat the game with 3 other people. Like, I should have just, like, beat the game.
Yeah.
And because I don't have those achievements for finishing that game because we finished it on your name.
We finished it with Rob.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we went through it a couple times, didn't we?
I went through it with you. You went through it with
me. You didn't just go finish it yourself? Like, it takes, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't. I saw the ending. I'm like, I don't need those achievements to, like, show people that I beat this dumbass game.
You really should get those achievements to show
people. They're pretty awesome achievements.
You want to let me borrow Crackdown, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, maybe I'll go again.
Not bad. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not...
It's not as good as it could be.
Yeah,
I'll agree with you there, but I think there's other games.
I think there are other
category.
Games.
No, I'm definitely not going to say that. Well, this is it's most disappointing
it's
thing.
Why
but
it's
it is
on the
disappointing.
List as to why it's on there. You know, yeah. It has many, many disappointing factors of it. Alpha Protocol. Did anybody else play it? You played a little bit, John.
I played some of it with you.
I didn't play it, but from what you said about it, from what I read about it, it's on the list number 2 in my mind.
Yeah, Alpha Protocol was one of those games where it's like this. I described it. It was gonna be a B movie of a game before it came out. Like this movie,
right? No,
game is a B movie.
I was expecting poor quality, and they fell short of that.
I was expecting campiness that comes along with decent gameplay.
Right,
but that game was broken in so many ways that it just became not fun.
Right.
But there are so many shining moments of like the dialogue or the branching stories or just being an awesome spy game, which nothing has really done before, and it just fell so flat and so hard because of the combat.
Face.
The freaking combat.
Primarily the combat.
And the leveling into how it just pigeonholes you into like one
It would have been better if that game was like we expected, where it would have been like Mass Effect but in a James Bondy kind of way.
It would have been better if it was not Mass Effect 1, but Mass Effect 2, like combat, because it's a dice roll, and
it's a huge dice roll.
You could point blank shoot a dude in the face, and he's like, "I'm you missed,
got me."
I know you're like you're a special agent.
It would have been more acceptable if it was like Fallout dice rolls, because at least those I can sort
did
of
you
hit
beat
people.
The game.
Wait,
did you actually finish the game?
Which one?
Alpha Protocol.
No.
I'm wondering if, like, by the time you got to the end, since none of us did this, if it was actually a great game. And
No, because the way to get to the end of the game is you need to min-max your character. Like, if you want to, you can't.
Yeah, I'm wondering if after you max your character, you've got some special badass moves.
You're absolutely right. Like, you can, if you do that, if you have a game plan and you start playing the game, and you're like, I'm going to go all into stealth right away and have no points in anything else, and then I will roll over everybody. Which is what I thought, because I was like, all these sneaking missions, I'm just going to go into stealth, and then I have all these like dice roll checks in case I get caught, and then what happens is you get missions where there's no stealth, and all you have to do is combat. And it's like, well, now I'm screwed. I can't, no longer do I have the options like the game was presenting to me. All
right.
Now all I have is pure combat, and I'm boned, and that's why I couldn't keep playing.
Okay. Well, I understand that.
The game would like to make you think that you could spread yourself out. But
you
can't.
You can, but you can't. You can, but it ruins you.
Yeah, exactly. So, that one's pretty. That's a pretty strong one on the list.
Mm-hmm. How about Final Fantasy 13?
Oh gosh, I forgot about that. Garbage.
It's a huge bummer.
Anyone else finish it?
I'm over.
Final Fantasy. I got 30. I played the thing for 30 hours and just decided I was done.
I remember
didn't
that.
Didn't want anything more to do with it.
Final Fantasy, I feel like we covered this in previous podcasts,
right.
And this is just a dredge. All been done. All you have to do is hit X and paradigm shift, and
but what about the crystals?
Right, dude, it's a bunch of
what about the crystals?
It's a bunch of hand-holding, it's 30 hours of like guides and 30 hours of just walking through hallways. That is not a Japanese RPG.
Was the story okay? Maybe at best.
Yeah.
Maybe at
it was,
best.
It was
interesting
for a couple of hours, and then I lost interest at some point.
Yeah. None of the characters like had me like, awesome. Yes, that guy's awesome. No. It's all like, oh.
What about Lightning, though?
I hope you die.
No, she's just like, she's like Cloud.
No.
She's a chick.
Cloud had a better support.
No, because Cloud has to be a guy. It has to be like that.
On that note, let's talk about the last one because we're almost out of time on this.
Okay.
Lost Planet 2.
Winner.
I cannot agree more. There was no bigger bummer of a game than Lost Planet 2.
Especially coming out with a title before it that was actually pretty decent. And then the stuff that they promised for Lost Planet 2 looks so good. Dude, it sounded so fun.
Lost.
I don't know what the hell Lost they Planet were doing.
Lost Planet 1 was one of my favorite games for years. Lost Planet 1 was amazing. I love VSs. I love the story of... I forget the guy's name, though. Do you remember?
Ooh, there's no, this, Lost Planet 1. This isn't one. About a single character in Lost Planet 2.
I know, right? But that's... I'm saying Lost Planet 1 was done
it's
correctly.
About ice pirates.
Lost Planet Snow 2 pirates. Was like, let's get rid of that good stuff and just go.
No, you're
just
absolutely...
Guns.
Why is Lost Planet 2 so disappointing? Because the focus was completely turned on its head. And everything that was great about the Lost Planet games... Or the moments of goodness in Lost Planet 2 were completely overshadowed by everything disappointing, like the demand for multiplayer and the inability to actually play multiplayer efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor, clunky controls that don't work well in a shooting game like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it takes some getting used to, and you can get proficient with it. But it's still, there are so many flaws. Like I talked about this in the past, where you just get pinned down because you can't. The animation takes too long to get up. You can't do anything about the next attack that's coming, and you're boned. And there is no, except for just ramming your head against the wall over and over again, there's no way to progress.
No.
The complete the lack of any sort of coherent storyline whatsoever. I had no idea who I was playing as.
Agreed.
At the beginning of that game, I was like, sweet, we're in a helicopter, we're flying, we're going to go get this monster. Maybe this is my character I'm going to play as.
No.
Next level.
Your dude, like, dies. Yeah, like, if you fail to press a button, your guy dies, and you're like, does it? But now you're somebody else, okay?
Yep. Don't worry, you're still playing.
We got another guy. He's cool.
He's just the other guy.
Yeah.
But what happened to that guy if you did survive?
Summer Wind X is still there. You remember that? Fake gamer tags?
Fake gamer tags.
Yes.
But, like,
Did that game do some things okay? Yeah, like the boss fighting was fun. There was like you could latch onto bosses, fly up with your grappling
hook. Right.
Yeah,
the size was cool.
Yeah,
but,
The salamander boss was awesome. Like going inside it. But then the progression through the other bosses, where it just became like this.
The train level.
The train level is the worst thing in video games ever.
I broke my disc. I literally broke my disc.
I don't blame you because that level is retarded.
Like, why did you do that?
Okay, so
yeah,
agreed.
Lost Planet 2
is our loser.
The biggest letdown of 2010 is Lost
Planet 2. I was
looking
forward to that game so much. Bought it, or I saw you play it, went and got it, and then I was sad.
Sad panda.
The next game we are going to talk about is... Best moral choice in 2010.
Oh man.
I have
on our list, we have Mass Effect 2, Fable 3, and... made these notes. AO2? Anybody want to help me out?
AO2.
Come on, there's another...
This game. Is your language, dude.
Army of 2.
Oh, Army of 2, that's right. Obviously.
AO2.
Hey-o!
AO2!
You can just put Army 2.
Another Nolan North joint,
yes.
By the way.
Yes. Yes. Belly of the Whale.
Belly of the Whale, Salem. Heard that a lot.
A lot. A lot.
Yeah.
For no good reason, either.
So, the best moral choice. I know you guys brought up Fable 3 when we were having our deliberations about this off air. Why Fable 3? I'm curious about what makes this. So
I feel like we're past the
Is it in the first like 5 minutes of the
game?
It's
within the first 10 minutes of the game.
But, so you're telling me that Ezio or that Altair is actually being controlled by somebody else outside of the world?
Yeah. You're in an animus inside of an animus.
One can only hope.
Yes, that's how this game gets better.
Anime.
Fable 3 animus, please.
Oh, yeah.
What is the moral
choice? So what happens is your boyfriend or girlfriend, depending on what gender you choose, Logan decides to set an example for you and says, here's the choices. You can either choose to execute your girlfriend or execute the leaders of this mob that is formed outside of the castle. So it's like, save the people and kill your girlfriend.
It's
or,
not an angry mob. They're just protesting.
No, they're just against what Logan's been doing, like treating them poorly. They're just out there.
Picketing.
Not like breaking windows and burning houses down and shit, flipping over Fable cars. But it's So
casting fireball in the street.
Right. No, it's just there. You have this terrible choice of do I kill the spouse, the boyfriend, girlfriend, or do I kill the people? And it's not a good and bad moral decision. Both of them are just decisions. And it's just like, both are really, really shitty.
It is a good or bad. It's, do you want to be a person? Do you want, like, your own choice? You right. want to be do you yourself want to choose something and save for yourself? Your friend, your girlfriend slash boyfriend? Or are you going to be a moral person?
Selfish or self.
Yeah, there you go.
Selfish or selfless. Selfless.
And
well, but that's one of the few things that I'm pretty sure the game doesn't cast morality on, though.
You think?
I think so, because traditionally those two icons will always have one is on fire and one is glowing.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure those don't have that.
Are you sure?
I'm fairly sure.
Okay. Well, fairly maybe. Sure. Well, we'd have to check
on
that.
I've done both of them. Yeah. And if you do execute the people, the other doesn't really isn't too butthurt about it. Like yeah. like they're upset, like, but they understand it.
You saved me.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
You saved me, but you shouldn't have. You should have thought of the people, but I'm not kind of glad I'm alive.
Though. Okay, well, that's
so
good.
I seriously sat at that screen and stared, and I was like, this is
yeah
rough.
Do I want to get my bone this on with this girl shitty. Later, or do I want to like be the king?
And the only what? Thing in the first instance that I was like, okay, I will choose to save the people and let you go, really? Was the first time I played it, was just because she kept telling me, choose me, save them.
See, I went so the other I was, route. Really? I saved her yeah. first time through.
Well, speaking of digital boning, let's talk about the moral choices in Mass Effect 2.
Okay. Let's talk about that group.
Let's talk about it.
And me too?
Some
meh. Me too.
Me too.
Meh.
Me too.
Me too.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2. The Renegade Paragon system that was freaking awesome. Interrupt conversation by kicking dude out of window.
What? I do not remember
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Really? Okay, so wait. Is that your specific moment that you're going with? Kick dude out of window?
Oh, boy. No,
we're saying moment.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good point. I guess I guess
system
that.
Because if you want to go overall yeah. moral choice, I will say Mass Effect 2.
Overall moral choices, I think, is a fair point.
I don't know if you could. I mean, but Fable if you're going, 3 if you're going has with, good evil. It doesn't get much like it, linear than that.
But their moral choices are rather.
It's I mean to,
uninteresting.
The Fable, yeah, they're uninteresting. It's like, do you want to make a whorehouse or do you want to make like? A,
they're all like, they're all eat the baby. Agency. They're all eat the baby, save the baby.
Yeah.
Honestly, like. There are times in Mass Effect 2 where I'm like, well, the evil end of this doesn't seem that evil to me. It just seems fucking smart.
Right.
So
it's practical.
Right. It's versus... like, I don't really care if this is going to give me bummer points. I'm sitting in the middle of this road.
I'm going to electrocute this guy.
Yeah.
Because he's being a jerk.
He's a douchebag and he's going to shoot at me later. Fucking yeah. take care of this now.
Absolutely.
How is this bad?
That's
explain
not an evil
to
thing.
Me in the world of reality how this is bad.
Not at all. It's a great
exactly.
thing. Yeah. Or there's several like,
if I hadn't done it, the Krogan would have done it.
Yeah.
Christ's sakes.
Like there was no, I think that if you want to talk, yeah, there was no real super standout moment in Mass Effect 2 of one really, really brilliant moral choice. Like, if you want to go with one thing, it's probably the end.
Right, I agree.
The
choices overall
that you have, choices
of who you're sending where, because I thought
no,
that was brilliant.
No, I think the last choice you have in the game, the last thing you do, where
putting lasers on your ship.
No, the where the space turd, where you have to make your choice about what you're gonna do about the space turd.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
that lead in for how your crew feels about you. For how
yeah.
it sets you up with Cerberus in the future, and for what that means for mankind in general.
Isn't there it's not just two choices.
It's two choices.
Is it?
Yep. Two choices.
But I feel like that is probably the
you either side with Martin Sheen or you don't.
Yeah. They're yeah. And it seems like it's a tough decision because there's good things
in
both. There's both directions.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's reason to do both ways. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was the other one, which I didn't play.
So. Oh, Army of Two.
Oh, Army of Two.
Army of Two is fabulous.
Army of Two's moral choices. I've never seen a game that will, like, give you moral choices and then, like, make you regret making choices.
But no, the best thing about the moral choices were, this is why I absolutely loved Army of Two's moral choices, because they were so arbitrary. Like,
and
the first one that you get is, this dude betrays you or may have betrayed you or something like that.
Yeah, you don't, like, he's on a phone call to a dude and you don't really know what he's talking about.
And one of your teams is like, yo, I think something's going down here. Something doesn't seem right. And you can, like, draw on him and shoot him, or you can let him go. And if you kill him, you find out that, like, he was contracted by some agency who has his, you know, balls in a vice where it's his only option.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's doing it as self-preservation. And then the other choice, and he's dead, right? So he's gone. And you're like, oh, well, that's
the other moral choice.
The other moral choice is you let him go. And it cuts to this, like, frame, like this cartoon comic book style montage of shots of him sitting on a beach drinking an iced drink, and then a dude in a wetsuit comes out of the ocean in front of him and silence pistols him in the face.
What? Right. So it's not just that specific moral choice. They're all everywhere. Like that. They're all fucking like that.
Except for the end.
Oh, that's true.
Which is the best.
The end is the best one. The end, that's how that game
the
should
franchise
end.
The franchise ender.
That's how that game should end. But no, it's like a lot of their moral choices are just like, well, you're fucked if you do, you're fucked if you don't. It's like, if I do this...
So which one do you want to see? Which one's funny?
Exactly. You know, right? Yeah.
Well, with the tiger.
The tiger.
The tiger is
save
the best.
The tiger or shoot the tiger. And if you... I guess we never...
Is that all their moral choices in the game?
Yeah, it's basically save or don't save.
Right.
And they all end up dying anyway?
Yes and no.
Well, like the one with the tiger, you let the tiger go and you find out that the tiger, like, finds its way into the back of some dude's car.
Who, like, robbed a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, and then he mauls him while he's driving down the street. It's like, all right, why do these moral choices go to these, like, weird places?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, most hilarious moral choices, fucking Army of Two.
And the best moral choice of the end of the game where you have three choices. Shoot the dude who you've been going after the entire game and finally, like, exact revenge and give this guy what's coming to him. But if you do that, then you launch, like, Korea into a fucking, whatever.
Nuke the world. Yeah, almost, like yeah. Practically.
Your decision was nukes.
It, and then you're in the bad... You put yourself in poor graces with, like, the U.S. military, and then it also launches, like, this massive world war.
Yeah. Yeah,
and terrible. Flooding too. I think this is a flood that happens from it too. But you are given the choice to either kill him or to kill your partner, to kill one of the two of the army too.
Salem
or Ryu. Rios. But the best thing is, whoever is playing on the co-op campaign, whoever makes that choice first, is how it boils out.
So there's three decisions. Like, if you're playing as a co-op campaign, me or Griff at any moment during that could just go, "I'm gonna kill him. I'm fucking kill my teammate." Done with it. And just ice dude. So
just take the other guy out.
Yeah. So, I mean,
having that option to just flat out kill your co-op partner.
And that stops a world war.
Yeah. But you're really bummed.
Yeah.
And it rains.
Well, it's your buddy from
I don't want to see Army of Two.
Three.
I don't want to see Army of Two, three. Because
Army of Two Thirds?
Cyborg.
Yeah, it's Salem and half of Rio's body. Yeah. Just his head in a jar.
Yeah. That'd be the one I want to see. I hope it's done by Telltale.
Those moral choices reminded me of another moral choice in a game that I want to mention was Sam Fisher, the end of Splinter Cell. Remember that one?
Oh, the co-op one.
Co-op one. The very end of the game was just an arbitrary moral choice was... Shoot this guy, or don't shoot him.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Remember what happens?
Oh, right.
You remember what happens?
Right. Yeah. I shot that fucker.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, we're at our time limit on that category, so.
Oh. Final verdict.
Final for me, it is Army of Two has the greatest moral choice moment in any video game this year.
I say Fable 3.
Wow, all right. Ryan, what do you got?
Oh, gosh. I didn't play Army of Two. I want to say Army of Two. But I like Fable 3.
Yeah. I think it has the single best moment.
Yes.
In
it sets the tone ending. For... No, it sets the tone for the whole Army game, of though. Two. That's the exact thing. It sets the tone for the whole game. It's like... And it's your brother that told you to either kill your girlfriend or these innocent people.
Yeah, but it's the dude who you've been playing with for the past two games either lives or dies.
That's true. I didn't play and Army the other character. So
you
know.
Can off each other.
Well, okay. I mean, to that extent, though, like the Splinter Cell co-op is really cool in the same way, but it's not really a moral choice.
Right, you just have to do it.
You just have to take one of the other ones out. You can't just like sit there and shake hands and be like, "Nope, we're not doing this."
Right. That's why.
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I didn't know you could do that either.
What?
I didn't play the. I did the 3 of 4 Splinter Cell campaigns.
The co-op. No, yeah. It ends with you have one of you has to kill the other.
Really?
Yeah, it's did really awesome ending.
So it's like,
but it doesn't matter first? Who kills who, because dude comes up and kills the liver, the guy that lives.
Oh,
the okay. Liver.
The liver
kills the liver.
The liver.
I think that
the vodka comes up and kills the liver.
Mass Effect 2 has the best moral choice system in all legitimacy of moral choices.
Yeah,
like, it's done extremely well. Do
you
want to
break
awesome.
this category apart?
We may as well.
I mean, we can say. We could do 3 like moral choice awards and just say
moment
Fable 3 moral choices
Army of 2
system.
I would
Mass
say most
2.
Ridiculous
moment Fable 3 and hilarious is gonna go to Army of 2,
but it's so good. it's unaware of its own ridiculousness and commentary on how stupid moral choices can be in games.
I think that's what they made it to be like, though.
I doubt it.
Though from the way you explain it to me, like...
No, I don't know. It seemed like that moral choice seemed like a really poor cop-out to an ending of a game.
Which one?
The Army 2.
Oh, I think it's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Because you there is no winning in it.
But if you're playing that game by yourself, like...
Do you still
feel
lose.
That same connection?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. I mean,
What would you have honestly done if like we finished that game and I just go pop?
I hated
don't give shit.
We did it.
You did. We after we already killed the dude.
That's because
we went back and did.
Yeah, well, that's because that's what needed to happen. And the fact that the game
we didn't know what would happen.
Yeah, exactly. And the game followed through with it.
If you don't type in the numbers.
If you don't, then the game ends. And it's Army of One. The reboot to Army of Two.
Oh, it's the prequel.
The Army of One. The Army is
Army of One. The actual sequel to Army of Two. Two.
Man, I don't know. I mean, maybe to me the starting what you guys are explaining to me as a Fable 3 opening seems cool, but I feel like it just doesn't have any, like, the weight of your decision just doesn't seem to have any bearing.
Yes, it has bearing later on in the game. You don't realize it at first, but because later on, if you save your girlfriend, there's missions with your girlfriend that you have to go and save her later. You have to do things with her. If you save these people, you could do shit with the people.
Well, but the people love you more for it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, either way, That decision made me hate Logan
so
much.
Yes.
And the fact that at the end of that game, I still felt like Logan deserved to live.
Yeah.
Blew my own mind. Because I was like, I'm going to fucking... I don't care
how this game takes it. I'm going to shoot him in the face.
Exactly. Like, I'm playing this game through just to...
And then it's all like, I can help you you let me live.
And I'm like, fuck. All right. Yeah, it's because at the end of the game, you find out he's not as big a douchebag and you do kind of need him. And it's like,
he was a douchebag for making that decision.
Right, oh yeah.
That was a douchebag move.
Not cutting him loose from that just yet. Like, if I could go kill him now after the fact, I would do it.
But. He still needs some whips, for sure. But
right.
I think we've got about 20 minutes on this topic.
I'm at the point now where, from what you tell me, it has consequence later. And it seems like there's something
it affects
good about
some
it.
Flow of the game.
Uh-huh.
And
I have said my piece on
I will
Army
agree.
Of 2.
Army 2. Has some good stuff in it, but I don't think it's good for the right reasons.
I think the ending of Army of Two is on par with the ending of Resistance 2, where it is just...
I didn't see the
ending of that game is so awesome because of the... Or Resistance 2, because of what happens, what they do to their series, or with this game, what you can do to the series. It's just incredible. But from what it sounds like, the what that decision leads to in the game itself has a lot more bearing than, you know, the ending of Mass or
and
Army
just
2.
The fact that it's the first 5 minutes in the game and
right.
you have to do this, you know,
right.
And, yeah,
and you have to live. You have to that pans out through the rest of the game. Where Army of Two, it's probably just going to be okay. The third game, that's not how I meant it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Fable 3, Fable moral 3. Choice.
Fable 3, Fable moral 3. Choice. Moment of the year.
All right, way to go, right. Fable.
And figure out something to do for Mass Effect's moral choice system. Maybe not.
We can give an honorable mention to Mass Effect for having a legitimate
moral choice. Maybe it may come into play later.
Okay.
So if we want to... Yeah, okay, you want to talk about another topic that's going to take us a while to get through. Best downloadable game of 2010.
I even forgot all the ones I put down on here.
Our list is Scott Pilgrim, Dead Rising Case Zero, Shank, Comic Jumper, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, Pinball Effects, Limbo, Super Meat Boy, and yeah, that's our list for downloadable games this year. Downloadable titles.
Pinball Effects. Pinball Effects.
You're just gonna write out the gate. That's really what you want.
Yep. There has not been a game that just takes my mind out of whatever I'm thinking of. Just zone out, play some pinball, replayability, like never-ending replayability, really. None of these other games. I mean, sure, but you're going to get bored. But there's so many things. Like, you can just continue to unlock shit on every single table. It's ridiculous. Every single table, every time I play it, something else happens with these tables.
But you're making a good... I played a little... Pinball is fun. There's a lot there, but in comparison to the other things that came out this year,
I've beat a few of them, and after beating them, I'm done.
You know? So you're saying that replayability trumps the experience of your downloadable game?
Yes, I feel like that.
We had Comic Quest or our Costume Quest on here too.
Oh okay.
Oh yeah. All good games, but the one I would want to have in my library if I could only have one of them would be Pinball Effects 2.
What about, like, so you would just erase the memory of Limbo from your brain if you could have Pinball Effects?
I think if I had to, if there was a gun to my head, I'd say, what the fuck is Limbo?
Wow.
Whoa.
Or Comic Jumper, or Dead Rising Case Zero.
Yes, because I've also played Dead Rising 2.
Super Meat Boy, Pinball
Effects. I like Super Meat Boy, but, I mean, you can only play so much of it.
No, but you only play the demo. There's so much of that game to play.
Okay.
Light worlds, dark worlds, they're all hard as shit. And then those portals, like, I think Super Meat Boy...
And all the characters that you can get.
Yeah, all the characters that you can get inside of those warp zones. And all the bandages. Bandages that you have to earn to unlock some of those characters.
The cutscenes with Dr. Cutscenes Fetus.
Are hilarious and amazing. I think Super Meat Boy will probably be my pick just because of value to what I'm getting gameplay-wise. Like, I loved Limbo. Limbo's a fantastic game, and I hope they make more. But Meat Boy is $10, and that game is little bite-sized bits of fun that even though I'm dying over and over and over again, it's so fast. And the music and the awesome. I just feel like I'm having a good time even though
I'm
dying.
And it's a funny game.
I'm having a good time even though I'm dying over and over and over again. It's such...
And then it replays it all to you when you finish it.
Yeah, and it shows you
that
how...
That is rewarding. That is very... that needs to be done more in games.
Well, right. And it has that cathartic feel of when you do get it, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a tension and then a relief.
But then there's the next level. And you have to do it all over again.
Yeah.
The same thing.
No, and they start introducing different dynamics into the game as you progress through the whole game. Like,
I'm sure.
And so some of that stuff is...
It's like, it's but cool. Sometimes well, you never had the dread, like, oh, I finally beat this.
No, it's
now
not
I
a
have
game,
to do this again.
It's not a game where the character progresses. It's a game where you as the player progresses in skill and finesse. So you need to match the challenge that the game gives you. It's not like now Meat Boy has better slide traction or
no, and it's like I guess when I say there's progression, there's like they introduce new elements of things that you have to deal with
through
the game.
This backwards gravity thing that pushes you kind of when you get at it.
Something
you
like
move
that.
At it.
They have fans that will push you around. They have weird lock and key things that you have to deal with that are bizarre. Then there's full-on parts in that game where there are lock-on missile launchers that you have to, like, you have to be constantly moving to dodge these missiles, but you don't always know exactly where you're going, so you're dodging these missiles like while trying to
finish the levels.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous stuff.
See, I played that game too.
I want to be the guy.
Super Meat Boy. It was also N plus.
Then
you ever played? If you ever got like 100 levels into N plus, everything Meat Boy has is the same.
Does N plus have Dr. Fetus?
Does N plus have
no? But it has ninjas.
Does N plus have weird shit doppelganger that you have to do a free run with?
Yeah. I never played one of those levels.
Does N plus have the boy from I Want to Be the Guy?
Yes.
No.
Does it have Mr. Video? Does it have Tim from Braid?
No, that's awesome. And they all have their unique abilities.
Yeah, and they do. And you can switch in and out of them whenever you want to, which is cool.
Definitely.
Mr. Video is...
The warps are like the hidden levels that make no sense.
They make no sense at all. Some of them, I don't even fucking know how you would get to them.
Right.
Like, I have seen portals there that I'm like, well that just physically does not seem possible. Because I would have to... I just shit myself. I realized that it is possible to get there. Wow.
Are you talking like literally you just had an epiphany?
I just had an epiphany about how you could actually get to a portal. A warp zone, rather.
And wow, all that is better than Limbo to you.
Just because of the dollar amount that I spend and the content that I get, Limbo is a solid adventure. And I think by the time I was done playing it, I appreciated everything that those puzzles had to offer me. But it doesn't have the same challenge and entertainment value that comes with Meat Boy at a cheaper price.
Okay.
You have so a solid the price wins with the Meat
is
Boy.
The price to content ratio wins it for Meat Boy.
So if Limbo was longer or cheaper,
if Limbo was just cheaper, if it lived, really? Limbo was like,
what if Limbo was free?
$5 or $10, Limbo would have been gold.
Huh.
What if Limbo was Dorito style pricing?
Dude, then it would be my
What
game.
About Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light?
It was really good reboot
awesome,
for Lara
awesome
Croft.
Awesome multiplayer.
What would have made Lara Croft a lot better and a lot tighter for this race for me is if that had online.
It does.
Now.
Yeah.
If it would have had out of the gate.
Well, we can go do it now.
Okay.
I mean.
That's why it's not Game of the Year.
True. Because it's, yep.
Yep. That's why it's not.
Well, it's not like you had to pay for the patch to play multiplayer. I mean, it just got patched in later. Yeah, it's unfortunate that happened.
You want to play that with me?
Some Guardian of the Light? Sure. I've got more.
You have it on PlayStation, though.
No, I have it on Xbox.
Do you?
Yep.
Whoop.
Yeah. I mean.
Fist pump.
The mini achievements, all the. Like the
you can get all those achievements in one playthrough.
Not that. I'm talking about like the things for each level.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Like, that was
each little challenge.
Really cool.
I
did that game was good. That game was really good.
Yeah.
I don't know that
Kotek
was I don't know that it
Guy
was
in skirt.
I don't know that Kotek it was that
great.
Good though.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just going
DLC?
Through our list here. You know, we've got other things on this.
What do you have for
what's yeah.
For me it's Dead Rising K-Zero.
Okay.
Hands down.
Really?
Absolutely.
The $5.
$5.
The $5 demo?
It is great. It is great.
It is great because it's a full game.
It's
that,
a full
like,
it's
Would super... you rather play K-Zero than Dead Rising 2?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No.
Then I will accept
it.
No.
I,
no
then
you
I
would.
Because it is
you
ultra
have,
concentrated
neither of you
Dead
have
Rising
not played that.
2. It's because when I play K-Zero, I realize that there is nothing more from this game that I want. I have everything that I need in this.
What else?
In this
how many times have you replayed that, though? Have you gone back to it since you played it?
Yes. Well, not at this point now, but I've played through it multiple times.
I played it twice, and both times I did not care for that. So.
After I read the review, I still went back and played it. I was
really?
Like, this is awesome.
Really?
Because
I'm just going to
having played
zombies.
That the full game multiple times through, I do not agree with you at all. The full game has a lot more to offer.
But I don't want it. But that's not a downloadable game. Like I'm good. Like
but that's why it's not my.
The full game costs 10 times more than the
package of Dead Rising that, as it was awesome.
If there was no full game, I would agree with you.
But
the full game costs 12 times more than what.
But
that
I'm
thing
saying, like,
costs.
You can Dead Rising is a $5 game that has so many great things in it. You've got you've got all your combo stuff. Not to the extent that you have in the full game, if you want to call it that. You've got your rescuing survivors, which nobody should like anyway. And you know, you've got You're a psychopath.
You got the moose head. That's all you need, right?
Yeah, you've got the moose head.
Wait, you have psycho. There are psychopaths.
The last dude is a psychopath, dude. You've got achievements for it. It was great. It was really good. It was very good.
I can agree with you, both of you, your arguments in the sense. But having played the full game,
it's just self-contained outside of the
game. I'm out of this argument. I agree with you. I think K-Zero is trash, but. That's mostly because I think that's just because I just don't like Dead Rising. I just don't care for it. So I don't know why I spent $5 for a demo of something I don't like.
If you could clear your arcade cabinet, you could only have one game in your arcade cabinet. What would it be?
Oh, well, it'd be Geometry Wars 2. That's what it would be.
But this year
would be Super Meat Boy. I would keep Super Meat Boy. Bang my head against that meat wall for a while.
Because mine would be pinball. I mean,
this is going to be rough.
I feel like time is up, and I feel like everybody has their own argument for very different reasons. And the more I think about it, the more I think Comic Jumper was probably the best thing this year.
You think it was the best thing?
That was funniest game of the year.
For reasons
sure.
that
by far
don't
funniest
make it
game of the year.
Really, I don't know. It's a tough argument. So I will just defer to Meat Boy because there are so many really, really awesome things about that. And I hope, Ryan, you could get behind that too because
I'll agree that Meat Boy was pretty tasty.
Meat Boy is a great game.
And it's like they said that it was going to go up to $15 and I haven't seen that yet. Mm. It's still a $10 game.
Yeah.
I love me some pinball, and I do intend to probably go buy a couple of those cabinet pinball games. But
it's pinball.
But at the same time, I can go play pinball
in real life.
In real life,
you also have to continue to eat or put quarters in there.
That's true. Yeah. But you have to continue.
I think
to play,
we need to stop
for...
focusing on money so much on these on these things. Yeah. Like value is important, but I don't. It's about the experience of the game.
I think value is important when it's a DLC.
Value is very important. And Dead Rising 2, I played through twice, and I don't want to go back and play that again. Meat Boy, I can see. I can go play that again. Pinball, I could play that forever.
What about mini golf?
Pretty fun. But that's
I think that Meat Boy is complete package. It's got gameplay. It's got the humor. It's got replayability. It is everything in a DLC or in a downloadable game that you would want. And it does everything really well. It might not be for everybody. It's not completely approachable, but it is
a gamer's game also.
Yeah, it is.
Takes a gamer's
game. Yeah, you gotta have some game.
Right.
Game.
It is Super Mario Bros.
To the nth degree.
To like now, like if a game that was released now that is of the difficulty of older games, it's Super Meat Boy.
That's what
it's mean. It doesn't like you.
Yeah.
Doesn't want you to win.
It's not easy.
Your co-op partner can't revive you.
Yeah. No, they cannot. Yeah. Just respawn at the beginning.
All right, I'll say
Meat Boy.
Done.
All right, I'll do it.
Downloadable game, 2010, Super Meat Boy. All right, we got something else before we dig into that guy. Let's talk about something a little easier. Let's talk about the zombie game of the year.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Yeah. All right, give us the categories.
I have my pick, but I feel like I'm gonna lose this.
Well, the category is Zombie Game of the Year, and why don't we wrap this up, and then we'll take a little break here before we move on to the big guys.
Sure.
So the Zombie Games of the Year, we've got Crackdown 2, Call of Duty, Black Ops, Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare, is it?
Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare.
Undead Nightmare, and then Dead Rising 2.
Well,
go.
The only two that I want to hear an argument
discuss.
On are just Dead Rising 2 and Undead Nightmare.
Yeah.
If you're going to say Crackdown 2 or you're going to say Call of Duty,
the only
the zombies
reason...
are not the point of, like, I suppose with Crackdown 2 they kind of are, but just they're not as much of a focus as they should be.
Freaks.
The only reason that I would say Black Ops in this category is because there's two different zombie modes in that same game.
Okay.
What?
And the only reason I will say...
Are you talking about the arcade game?
Yeah, it's you're killing zombies,
okay,
aren't you?
And the only the only reason I will say not Black Ops is because I'm sorry, but
it's been done before.
Well, it's been done before, yeah. But are you gonna? That's what you're spending your money on?
You know what? You know what? I have friends that
I know, yeah. And it blows my mind that they are. But it's just like really,
they like horde mode. That's they like horde mode.
I think that zombie mode is
play fucking Left 4 Dead then.
Absolutely.
But
zombie mode is really cool, and I think it's a really
it's
good to introduce a lot of people.
You know who did it before? Like what zombie mode is? You know who did it first? Also?
Oh, Treyarch in Call of Duty World at War with zombie mode.
And that's true. Yeah, I suppose
that's where it came from.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I was gonna say Transformers. Zombies, it was called Zombies Ain't My Neighbors.
Transformers, Escalation.
That's horde mode.
But they did the guns on the wall. Unlock this door.
Wasn't Gears
same
of
exact
War
way.
Two
Gears of War Two,
Call of Duty World at War, and that was a horde mode.
Yeah.
So that's all this is.
Right. And there was a game that came out before. Firefight is more or less the same thing.
Yeah. But
Horde mode was number one.
Was Horde mode the original?
I'm sure there was something else before.
Online, Horde mode.
Horde mode was number one. I am going to put money on
online anyway.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know of anything before. There might have been, but like that's not what the discussion is about.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Zombies. Okay. Zombies. Get back to zombies.
It's been done before. Call of Duty Black Ops did good with having it in there,
and it has geometry wars with zombies.
With zombies, gotcha.
The other one that you guys don't want to talk about is, you know, Crackdown 2. I think we already spoke much about that.
I mean,
I wouldn't put
it has freaks in it, but it's like
those aren't zombies.
But what about the UV gun?
The UV
just
the
launch.
UV gun is sweet.
Launch
is
like
sweet.
Just blowing zombies
UV
away.
UV shotgun.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty fun.
Oh yeah, UV shotgun is probably the best zombie.
You know what? I
ever.
Think there
just
needed to be
driving
though, in
cars.
That game. What about UV headlight?
That was,
oh yeah, that
just
would
like
actually
on your forehead, just like
no, just
looking
in your cars. That would be sweet. Just burn
the zombies out. Seemed a little superfluous in Crackdown.
Right,
like
especially
it,
when you could just max out your strength and just go,
yeah,
like mowing.
Granted, they
zombies.
Were what the story of the game was about.
Yeah, but
it's also like it could have been anything else.
Yeah, it could have been crazy.
Could have been vampires.
Yeah,
it could have
whatever.
Been,
yeah, so we're all in agreement that Crackdown 2 was not a zombie game of the year.
No, definitely not. So you guys, the best discussion I think comes with Red Dead Redemption.
I didn't
Dead
play
Nightmare
the Red Dead.
And,
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising.
I was completely taken away with Undead Nightmare because I, you know, outside of like Left 4 Dead, I hope that came up. The zombies act like they should, like what I would imagine zombies would act like, and they that just that whole scenario is very Night of the Living Dead. They don't really run, but they do sneak up on you, and they're everywhere, and they don't really show up on the radar like you would hope, and they all have their own kind of certain ones are they kind of have like that Left 4 Dead kind of like categorizing to them. Some of them have different traits than others. And I just think the coolest part that they nailed was like it's a little campy in that zombie sense, like with their story for it. And then on top of it all is like these people are acting exactly how I would expect people in the Old West to act when a zombie apocalypse.
If a zombie apocalypse happened, wouldn't you be kind of campy too?
Well, it's just like they straight up have a part where a guy is like, I'm going to walk down this deserted street and get my backpack.
I've heard
you
that
stay
line
here.
So many times.
I know.
And it's like, is that one joke is what makes the whole thing credible? And it's like,
no, it was just that one part was just really, really funny. They just,
what happened there? I didn't
that's it. That's what happened.
That's
and
what
he turns into a zombie and you're like, oh,
no, unexpected. He's like, I'm going to go get my backpack. It's okay. There aren't any zombies in town because they killed everybody. And so he walks down the street and gets eaten.
Hmm.
And it's just like, well, you knew it was going to happen. And it's just, he also has a really funny line before that too. And he's like, I'm a man of science. I'm a very intelligent man. And I honestly have to say that I have no idea what the fuck's going on. And it's just, I think the zombies in that game are spot on for Western zombies.
Western zombies?
I just don't buy it. Like, I'm not feeling it.
Dead Rising 2 has my vote.
I mean, think that Dead Rising does too, because to me that is more appropriate zombie craziness.
Okay.
Where it takes it to the next level of let's make zombies.
Let's make a game show
crazy.
Out of killing zombies.
Yes. Let's take it to
the story to that game surprisingly wasn't half bad.
Well, that and like there's the group of like the pro zombie people that are like,
yes,
zombies shouldn't be killed because they might have feelings. Like, that is just absolutely absurd.
That is absurd.
And just what that game did all around with like just killing zombies. Just how would you kill a zombie?
I would take a bucket and put a bunch of drills on it, and then it would.
Would you take a water gun, inject fuel, and light a flame to it?
No, but I would take explode. A lawnmower and just put it on the zombie's head and watch it burn them down like a giant blade of grass.
Would you put assault rifles onto a wheelchair and just walk around somebody like with dual assault rifles?
Okay, so would you put a giant moose head on and just?
Heck yes, I
barrel through him.
Why, if there was nothing why else, not? Moosehead has not? To happen.
Right.
Did you make Wolverine boxing gloves?
Sure. And if we're working in the zombie fiction of the worlds, if those are coming into question, in Dead Rising, if you get cut or bitten or whatever, you don't necessarily turn into a zombie, right?
Zombrex. Well, the story.
How does the disease transfer itself?
You have 24 hours, and if you don't get some Zombrex into your system within 24 hours, then you will turn into a zombie. And you have to have that Zombrex in your system every 24 hours.
No. But how does the disease get in you?
If you get bit, right? Or is it...
If a zombie gets
fluid,
you.
Fluid transfer?
Bit, you know...
I thought having, people having could... Were just some people were like, we don't get it.
No.
Everyone, I thought it had something to
everybody
do with,
can get it.
I thought it had something to do with bugs.
Yeah.
It came from bees, but bees kill. Like, this, like, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Bees
undead
can
nightmare,
kill everything.
The amount of time it takes for somebody to turn into a zombie in Undead Nightmare? 30 seconds.
But my question is, working in the realm of the fiction is then, if you're bringing up fiction is so good in Undead or Dead Rising, what if Marston gets bit?
Well, that's true. I mean,
he's
like,
just like, I'll shake this off.
That's true.
And then in Dead Rising 2, you have to inject yourself with this thing.
Oh, yeah?
Well, no. Like,
no.
Because
well, couldn't you just
you
die
have
in
life
the
in the game, and basically the zombies will attack you. And if you eat some food, you get better. You, as the main character, for gameplay's sake,
I thought that they made just a point of saying that, like, Chuck was just straight up immune to it. I thought that was a thing.
I didn't see that in the game, no.
That's the impression I was under. There's
it
some people,
seems like it, believe
some
me,
because
that motherfucker
just
gets hit and beat up by zombies the whole game.
I just thought that some people just didn't
also
get
the
zombie
with,
disease.
With the amount of like blood that he's spraying that is zombie blood, you would think he would ingest
maybe a little
this
bit in the eye?
In
maybe
the
a
eye,
bit
in the nose, in the
yeah
mouth, in an open cut of his? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right, our time is up on this category.
Just, I'll concede to Dead Rising 2. I still submit.
I mean,
it.
How can you even say anything besides Dead Rising 2 in this category? Because
I'll submit.
That game is zombies.
That's
humiliating zombies.
Yes.
I will still submit, though, that Undead Nightmare is
runner-up.
Really
undead,
worth playing.
Undead Nightmare for runner-up. Because I wouldn't mind playing
it's good
a Grand Theft Auto zombie game.
It's good.
I mean, why not?
Okay, we got to take our break now, and we'll be back in a sec. Okay, we're back from our break. We're going to finish this up. Category that we're going to do now is the reboot of the year.
What did we have for...
Which title was rebooted and was the...
What do we have for...
Okay, our...
Potentials.
Our potentials are Castlevania, Lords of Shadow. We have Pac-Man, DX, Championship DX. And then, Kirby's Epic Yarn.
This is you guys. I didn't play any of those games.
What are you thinking, John?
I don't know.
I think it's Castlevania for me.
You think it's Castlevania? Okay.
Absolutely.
That's fine. I don't know. Like, I was going to say Pac-Man's really fun to play.
Pac-Man was really fun to play.
But so is Castlevania. Well, parts of Castlevania are really fun to play.
I think in terms of a reboot and turning this franchise around.
Oh, yeah, making it a big to-do about
yep
something that isn't that big to do anymore.
Definitely.
They really did a good job making that something that everybody can get behind and enjoy. So Yes, I will agree. Castlevania is probably a reboot of a franchise.
But you like the Kirby stuff you're trying too, right?
Yeah, it's really good, and it's really that Kirby stuff that you want. It's really fluffy, fun, easy, and it's really a really awesome kind of like, whoa, that's kind of like that stuff they did with Mario where they made him into Paper World. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see more of that, like Kirby kind of like, I would play Kirby's Epic Yarn too.
Yeah. If you played a Super Mario RPG Wii with Yarn Kirby.
And
Paper Mario. Paper Mario. Yep.
That would be a weird
Super crossover. Mario, Super Kirby Mario RPG Paper.
New Wii. Yeah. With a new Wii. Yeah. HD.
Two.
Disney.
Yeah.
Two.
Duodecim.
Yeah.
Duodecadence. So any, I mean, Castlevania is it. We can just,
Castlevania,
not too much to talk about on that one. Fair enough. Let's move
it's
on.
It's not Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not much for, yeah, no.
You know.
That's not on the list for a reason. Let's talk about the multiplayer game of the year. This one is going to be an interesting discussion. We have Transformers, Black Ops, Super Street Fighter 4, Crackdown, Medal of Honor, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Tron, and Halo Reach.
What's your pick?
Probably Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Oh, and Splinter Cell Conviction.
Oh.
Multiplayer game of the year. John, you want to make a case for Tron, don't you?
Yeah, I do want to make a case for Tron. Tron's really, really fun to play, and it has a bunch of different types. They incorporate like crazy driving into it. It's something that takes a lot of like lending from other like online multiplayers, but does it in a very like in its own way. It uses a lot of its own like in-game stuff to generate this gameplay so that like while you're playing that game you're training yourself for multiplayer. And to that note, any levels you gain in the single player campaign transition right over into the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. So your character multiplayer is the same character single player. Any levels you gain from multiplayer are single player levels. Any single player levels you gain, multiplayer levels.
Was the matchmaking like, all right when you jumped into it?
Yeah, I was able to pick up a decent amount of stuff, like a decent amount of matches.
But I'm saying, like, did it put you on people who were on the same level as you were?
Immediately, no. But I feel like a lot of those people that I was facing had already beaten the game, too. Because you beat the game, you'll gain about 20 levels.
Hmm.
So
they didn't match it up well.
I
mean, if you can jump in and out, that also ruins the single player.
Yes
game
and no, but like, the better you become at playing multiplayer, the less it is about your level.
Uh-huh.
And the more it is about like you finessing some things.
But don't you need certain levels to actually get points to do things in, like you need levels so that you can actually have the next disc type or something.
Right. Health upgrade. You do. And those things only make things different. They don't necessarily break it one way or the other.
Okay.
They make it to change up and they start to make it more of like how you would like to play the game. I think it was just really fun, and I think it was something that was different that was like aside from like Transformers online multiplayer, I don't really recall. Aside from Transformers and Assassin's Creed, there aren't a lot of like third person type multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's Crackdown.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't get that. That was.
Are we saying multiplayer, or are we saying competitive multiplayer?
There was competitive in there as well. In Crackdown.
No,
it was really bad though.
Yep.
Oh, weird.
It was really bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Crackdown shouldn't be on this list.
No, I didn't think it was a fun multiplayer game.
Yeah. Cooperative. It was all right.
Bouncing things around with a light shotgun.
That was fun, but I mean, you can pretty much do everything solo that you can do.
Fair enough.
And it doesn't really enhance anything.
Mm.
Except for just maybe, hey, you see that?
Yeah.
What about Halo Reach multiplayer?
I thought it was better than what I'm used to, but I don't think it like blew my mind at all.
I liked it. It was the best Halo game I've played multiplayer.
Do you think that it's better than any other Halo game for any reason besides like jetpacks. Armor abilities?
Jetpacks.
Yeah, so no.
Not really. I mean,
I think their matchmaking was good.
Yeah,
it was really good.
I never ran into a whole lot of people that seemed to be like way above my skill level.
Yeah, super generals and whatnot.
Yeah,
super generals. I like that.
That's a rank.
Super
general. Epic general.
You a general? No, I'm super general.
Super general.
Yeah, Halo was good.
Skulls were cool. Firefight was fun.
Yeah, it had the all around experience.
What about what else do we have on here? Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, I put on this list.
Oh.
Yeah, because I feel like it's worthwhile talking about. You know, it's being able to have that complete online system of filtering matches where you can say, I just want to play people who are this specific character, or I want to watch archived games of this character versus this character. I think that is freaking awesome and perfect for a fighting game to be able to just have access to a list of like a way to see high level play through the game itself. You don't have to play watch it on YouTube or something like that.
Yeah.
And then being able to filter your matches that way to say, okay, I just want to play people who are playing these four characters. But I don't think it is the I mean, it is what it is.
It's super, good for what that game is.
Right.
It's really good.
Really do enjoy Street Fighter.
It's really good for what that game is.
Street yeah.
It does the job.
It's your cup of tea.
What about Call of Duty Black Ops?
That's what I'm going to have to say game or online game of the year is.
Really?
After the patch.
Right.
Now that you can actually play matches and...
Not Medal of Honor.
Not Medal of Honor?
No, not Medal of Honor. Medal of Honor was fun for a while, but I lost interest quick.
So, okay, are you saying what makes Black Ops the best online game right now?
They have so many different modes to play. It seems like you always think you have enough modes, and then they add new modes that are more so much fun, like wager matches.
I think wager matches are definitely what makes Black Ops a contender.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is an awesome idea to have these put your experience kind of on the line.
Yep. And the more you have, you know, the more you bet, the more you can win, or the more you lose. And it's not just regular matches. You can do, like, my favorite, the tomahawk and just crossbow. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be as close to the golden gun, or what for GoldenEye?
Yeah.
Man with a golden gun.
Not the man
with a license to kill.
License to kill. It's basically license to kill.
One in the chamber is like that, right?
What? Yes, yeah.
Sticks and Stones is very different.
Yeah. There's like five different modes. They're all similar.
There's three.
But
there's
different.
Gun Game, there's Sticks and Stones, and there's One in the Chamber, right? Yeah.
Is that all?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm pretty certain.
I feel like I'm missing something there.
Those are the only three I know.
But yeah, there's the wager matches, and then there's the time tested Call of Duty online multiplayer that is never going to lose any steam, it seems like. It seems like it's going to go on forever.
And I really like the ability of you to spend your cash to upgrade your dude how you want it. It's not a linear route.
Yep.
It's you choose how you want to go.
And the emblem thing is kind of cool, too. Make your own emblem, put it on your gun, make your own clan tag, put it on your gun.
That's not a cool thing.
It's
pretty cool. Can you get clan tattooed?
On your scope.
On your face.
Yeah, on your face,
yeah,
so people
can
see it.
Face
on your
tat.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
You can design
wrist
your
tat.
No.
Your
there's face paint.
I want tat.
Face tat.
I want face tat.
But just all in all,
can your character not wear a shirt?
You wear a helmet.
You might be cold. There's a lot of snow levels. I mean,
whatever. I don't care about cold. They're fictitious people. They don't get cold. I'm just saying, if I could go around,
that would
with
mess
no
with
shirt,
your sniping, man. That would mess with your sniping.
So that Black Ops beats out Transformers for you. That game that you loved so and you got 50 levels in.
Oh my god, Transformers is amazing.
And went back to it again.
Yeah. Dude, I think Transformers was amazing too. If you want to see Transformers, I'll back you up.
I think Transformers was all right, but I don't think Transformers did anything unique.
No, except for transforming.
Yeah. They had a very pretty sprint button.
I'm going to be back and forth on this. I'll be either between Assassin's Creed or Transformers.
Well, I think that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is the last one we should talk about here.
You know what? It's a good game, but for me, it seemed a little bit too slow online anyway.
That's why I think you're talking about Assassin's Creed.
Well, it's a lot slower than what I'm used to.
Absolutely.
No, and I think that's the reason.
That is what makes that multiplayer game. That is its bread and butter.
That is what it's
the methodical movement that you have, that doing something completely different from the Twitch gaming nonsense.
Doing something that is not what you would normally do.
Exactly.
You
are rewarded for slowing your game down.
Yeah, you are rewarded for not acting like a person.
Yeah, exactly. The game types where one is specifically like the Manhunt, the one that I love, where it's like you just act like a computer and you get points for it.
Yeah.
Or,
and I think a lot of their perks that you can eventually achieve are, some of those can be really, really cool and really advantageous. So
guns, I mean, the thing that's really only in that is a con on the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood side is just its limited gameplay mode. You've got your everybody versus everybody. You've got your teams of two, rock, paper, scissors, hunt each other, get hunted, and then you've got your one team hunt, team get hunted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little flat in that regard.
What would you like to have?
I don't know.
Capture the flag.
Yeah, capture
there,
the
there could be like Let's capture see. The package, but there's five different people with packages. And
I think it'd be cooler if you did, like, I mean, yeah, you could kind of do something like that, but it'd be cooler if you could do like a like an oddball.
What's oddball?
Man with the package gets points, and the last
okay, so
that's a good idea with the
like
somebody
would have flag or package or whatever you want to, like, skull, whatever you want to call it. And that person hides from the rest of the assassins. You assassinate that person, you get that.
And the longer you have that said, whatever, the more points you're just continually racking up.
Uh-huh. So when the next person, or the person who kills that person, then gets the ball?
Yeah, it's odd man, whatever. Is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Smear the queer.
Yeah, I was trying to refrain from saying that.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
That's the thing is, though, I feel like that's already in there.
Is it?
Like, that's... You know, that's regular mode. That's
not
just go.
Really.
Because if a person in first place has everybody going, they have, you know, three people going after them while they're still dealing with their target. It's not just
true.
A pure escape. Like, I see what you're saying. Like, okay, that'd be cool if all you had to do was evade.
Mm.
That's really all you do need to do. Like, just keep people.
Well, but you don't score points for just evading.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, you're not just getting.
There's other game modes that could definitely be. Like,
there's
more
stuff you could do, and
yeah.
I mean, definitely
yeah.
They can always, like, there are, yo, you could do straight up patches for that game.
Sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that it is a little lacking, but I can't come up with something else for what I would like to see in it.
But I still think it is, when I saw all the stuff that they were offering for that multiplayer, it got me excited. When I tried that beta, I got even more excited. When I played the whole thing, I think that is a completely acceptable divergence from what we consider online multiplayer. I think it's good, and I think it's solid.
Yeah, it's definitely far, far, far out of the box.
I know this is
what we have.
A little late game for this category, but we completely forgot about StarCraft 2. And I know none of us have played multiplayer
yeah,
for StarCraft 2.
Yeah,
and I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, it is worth mentioning. None of us played it, so I don't know that it's really.
I played through StarCraft and I didn't want to play multiplayer.
I played through StarCraft.
StarCraft.
Yeah, I played through that.
Did anybody play multiplayer for Dead Rising 2?
Yes. It was no.
Okay.
Anyway, StarCraft is still StarCraft. It has exceptional support, but it's not. I just put them all on the shelf. It's
okay.
It has great support from Blizzard, but it's still the same game. My Street Fighter 4 isn't.
Right.
So can we come to a consensus between Black Ops and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood?
Is Black Ops different enough to say that it is not like what they've every been other, doing for the last three yeah. or 4 years?
Is are the few are the handful of tweaks pushing it into a different level of quality?
I don't know if it's pushing it, but that's why. That's why it's there, like because
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood continue to play it.
But for does it 12 months until the next one comes out?
But yeah, does it, well, same question to you. Right. Is Assassin's Creed Brotherhood going to have the staying power? Like, you know? No.
Probably not. Yeah.
No, I really, really like it.
Definitely, probably not. But, I mean, it does something different.
Definitely.
Least, and it's unique.
It definitely does. Yeah.
And it's head turning because it's not poor.
Right.
In quality.
No. There's nothing like it on the market right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. That's why
it's the first multiplayer that is competitive that doesn't involve you shooting dudes just like wildly.
Yeah. Who can kill dude?
Yeah.
Who can put dude in sight and shoot him fast? Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like Assassin's Creed is more about finesse and.
And that's why I think it's. That's why I think
something other than something other than Twitch reactions.
Yeah. It creates a competitive online experience that's not.
Is it going to be mainstream? Probably not. But
yeah,
but
that's why I'm torn between these two games because I see where you're both coming from. But I, as a gamer who I liked Assassin's Creed, but it wasn't for me. So I see what it did. I appreciate what it did, but it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed maybe a little bit of it, but it just I couldn't. I can't play it like I can play Call of Duty nonstop over and over, which is why I would give Call of Duty the game of the year.
Just because of how much time you spend with it?
Yes.
Yeah. Could you go without Black Ops and keep playing Modern Warfare 2?
If Black Ops didn't come out, could you probably still be playing Modern Warfare 2
yeah.
right now?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then that's kind of why I sit there and say, whoa, I mean.
Yeah, that's true. I appreciate that.
It does enough things to make it to freshen it up, but it doesn't take that jump from Modern Warfare
right.
to Modern Warfare 2's online.
Yes.
Can we say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, World at War is like out of everyone's picture.
But
Call of Duty World at War, like that was in between Modern Warfare 1 and 2.
Right.
Yeah.
And like who talks about that game?
Right.
I think more people talk about Modern Warfare 1 than.
Oh yeah,
I think
yeah.
more people oh, are definitely. Probably
that's
playing
what I'm
Modern
saying.
Warfare 1
that's
now
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Anything.
Because World at War was horrible and Treyarch stepped up their game with Black Ops.
Oh no, and sure. I definitely agree. I think they did a great job making their online more interesting than World at War was. But is it more interesting than Modern Warfare 2?
I feel
was?
Like it's a few bells and whistles that make Modern Warfare 2's online better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're yeah, driving some wind. There's some rims on that.
Yeah, exactly.
Ride.
Sure, that's a good thing. I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's just compared to Assassin's Creed, which takes the multiplayer experience into a different direction.
Yeah, especially from a game that doesn't like they just didn't do a multiplayer thing before.
Sure.
And
it's very good.
It's original. I mean, we gotta wrap it up here
all
and
right.
say what it is. Can you give it to Assassin's Creed?
I almost think it has to be like split up, like just because I want Black Ops to be the multiplayer game of the year because that's if I were to go and play a multiplayer game, that would be it.
Not like Halo.
It wouldn't be Halo. Halo should have been mentioned in there, but it was.
No, we didn't mention it. But I mean, I
apologize.
I feel like that's what Halo's been.
Yeah.
Did we not talk about Halo?
No, we didn't mention. We didn't mention.
Well, we did. We did. We did a little bit.
I thought we talked about it quite a bit.
Jetpacks, yeah.
Oh, did we? Okay, that's right.
We've covered everything.
Okay, my bad. I say it's 2-1 on.
If it's 2-1, then majority rules, I guess. But
I mean,
as the
I don't
online gamer,
just
out
make
of the
you
three
feel
us,
like you're overruled on it. But I just,
as the one who plays the most online games, I don't know.
That's fair.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, you can honestly admit that Black Ops is not a step forward like Assassin's Creed is.
It's a baby step. Well, yeah. Well, it's Assassin's Creed multiplayer is definitely a step forward from what they had.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you're going just pure enjoyment, for you, Black Ops is a better game.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's. See, I'm very torn between.
I can
these
respect
two.
That though.
And like, I've played pure... Black Ops online stuff, and the fact that you can do zombie mode online is really cool too. The fact that there's no co-op multiplayer in Black Ops, but there was in World at War, is a little confusing. The problem that I have with that game is it's
been done before.
And there are improvements on it that are awesome, but yeah. At the same time, it's not enough to say it is the best multiplayer game.
But we are coming into an age of what else can they do? It's almost like, but I suppose that's an argument for Assassin's Creed.
And that's
Creed.
What Assassin's Creed did. Yeah. Is it's
right. What else can they can make?
It's
the Assassin's
stop
Creed
making
game.
Shooters.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
The answer.
They can stop, like, just they can let it go. But I mean, you know, they're not going to let it go. Well, I mean, we'll see what Sledgehammer does with Call of Duty next year.
Yeah.
Is that who got it?
And that's supposed to be a
third person
action adventure
Call of Duty
game.
Wow.
Let's see what
tile based.
Maybe that will be yeah.
Dice rolling.
Yeah.
Miniature front, model.
Front mission.
Fighting game.
A fighting game.
Yep. Sweet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seriously torn between this.
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I think maybe Black Ops should get it too.
Because.
Like 12 Angry Men.
Like, when people buy Black Ops, I feel like they're getting it for the multiplayer.
Well, I say fuck what people are buying things for. This is our decision.
When I buy it, I bought it for the multiplayer.
Well, good.
It's cool that there's a story for it, but I bought it to play the multiplayer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Versus Assassin's Creed has a nice, shiny multiplayer tacked onto it.
Yes. Blah, blah, blah. Well, when they pitched Assassin's Creed, like, how much of that single player did you hear about as opposed to, hey, we got this really awesome multiplayer. You should be checking out that multiplayer. We're going to release BO4. Hey, you should check out that multiplayer.
Yeah, well...
Oh, hey, we have 15 hours of single player.
At the same time, that was my biggest trepidation for Brotherhood 2. It's like, single player is just going to suck.
But it was pretty sweet.
And it was good.
Yeah. Is that right?
But...
And then that multiplayer is pretty good, so...
Because I didn't play the story mode for Black Ops until 3 weeks after I was done playing the multiplayer. So, I can't give it to anything else. I really can't. If you guys want to split this category, I am perfectly okay with that, but I really have a hard time conceding to Assassin's Creed for online game of the year to play for an entire year long.
Yeah, I think I'll have to... Black Ops has got to be it.
Okay, fine.
I mean... Black Ops...
I'm not gonna sit here and hold this conversation that much longer. It's like I
fuck it. Let's just say StarCraft 2.
Okay, whatever. We never
yep,
played.
The tie is that.
Fuck it. Tiebreaker.
It's Bejeweled 3 online.
Yes.
I mean, when I
played some of Black Ops, I did enjoy it, and I thought of it. For that little bit that I played of it, I thought that I was actually doing better playing Black Ops than I was playing Modern Warfare 2. There's just something about playing Modern Warfare 2 that I never got into, but that little like time that I spent with the multiplayer for Black Ops seemed better. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe if I actually do pick up Black Ops and I start playing it, I would be pissed off like I always do.
Right. So I think what it comes down to me in thinking everything over is that, yes, the innovation of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is awesome, and that is the most appealing part of that game in terms of the multiplayer, is it does something totally different. Doesn't rely on the Twitch. It takes it into a different realm, but it's too nascent right now. Whereas Black Ops, though it's not original, has done things extremely well and creates a diversity of experiences, and it just wins the marathon instead of like the sprint game.
Yeah, that's a good. I like that.
So
fine.
That's all right. Fine. Done. Multiplayer game of the year: Black Ops, Call of Duty, Black Ops.
Fine.
All right, we got not a lot of time here. Let's talk about most anticipated game of 2011.
Oh fuck, this is gonna be forever.
Nope, we gotta do it fast.
All right.
So this, with the Spike,
same right now.
Spike VGAs came out, so that kind of came through a little wild card in there.
A ton of shit.
Yeah, so we've got Bulletstorm, Mass Effect 3, Uncharted 3, It's something I can't read. Dead Space 2, Gears of War 3, Metal Gear Solid Rising, Portal 2, Arkham City, and Ghost Trick.
Uncharted 3.
Uncharted 3, yep.
Okay. Oh, and Ghost Trick.
I'm going Bulletstorm on this one.
What?
Yeah.
Deus Ex Human Revolution. Forgot that one too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Retract statement. But
really?
Well, actually, Gears of War 3 is probably what I would
really
have to go with. Yeah. Because I love the Gears franchise and I really want to see the ending. So
I would really like to say Portal 2, but I feel like Portal 2 is going to be really short lived. I feel like Portal 2 will be about as entertaining lengthwise as Portal 1.
I think Portal 2 is going to be flash in the pan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll be really exciting and we will move on and we'll talk about it forever and make funny jokes about cake, probably.
Yeah.
Or other pastries.
Cakes.
Or pies.
More than one.
Maybe
cake.
There will be a pie.
Maybe there'll be maybe instead of a cake, it will be a sandwich and the discussion will finally be ended.
Oh. Is double A.
What about Mass Effect 3?
No, that's, yeah.
What about Uncharted 3?
Uncharted 3 and Mass Effect 3 are the ones burning in my heart right now.
What about Deus Ex Human Revolution?
That looks really cool, but I have nothing to base it on.
What about Bulletstorm? Bulletstorm for me is one of the most exciting games next year.
Bulletstorm is made by Epic.
And
don't really care.
Well, fair enough.
I like Gears of War, so
I don't like Gears of War. I hate Gears of War. That Bulletstorm looks great.
It does. Yeah. It does. It looks awesome in a
campy,
preposterous,
stupid,
ridiculous sense.
Yes.
Drunken space trucker with a plasma lasso.
Yes.
Sweet.
Lots of dick jokes.
Crazy.
Lots of
penis and dick jokes.
Yeah. What? Come on.
Awesome. Great. I'm not that excited about that.
All right. Fair enough.
When compared to the myriad of other amazing games that are coming out.
So here's, I'm going to say this right
I'm
now.
Super, okay, go for it.
No gameplay for Mass Effect 3. No gameplay for Arkham
Uncharted.
City.
Uncharted
There's 3. Gameplay for Uncharted 3, but
is
it's
there?
Not worth talking about.
Okay. Dude
yeah.
walking down a
It's like Drake jumping through a window. You're like, yep, that looks about
that
like
looks
Uncharted.
Like what, that would be a game.
I've done that before.
That would
yeah.
be a game.
So
Metal Gear Solid Rising has gameplay.
Metal Gear Solid cutting watermelons looks
cutting
pretty
watermelon.
Great.
Precision watermelon cutting. I want to know.
How thinly can you slice it?
did they confront Gallagher? Was
that
was he?
That,
I think
that,
Matt
that
made a joke about that when that
I made
you
a,
made that joke
I
when
made
that was
joke.
Posted. Yes, good.
Like Cyborg Gallagher.
Yes.
Twing.
Yeah. I mean, what do you get?
No, I'm just like okay. If you wanna say yes that we don't know too much about those games, but the title alone excites the hell out of me.
That's anticipation. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's true. Metal Gear Solid. That's gonna talk about a part of the story that I don't know anything
no
about.
No Dead Space. Nobody's interested.
Compared to what else is on the table, no.
Dude, huh? My thing is like I think
what
Dead
Duke
Space.
Nukem Forever.
Yeah, that's
most
not this year.
Most
It'll
anticipated
be
game
three.
Of
ever.
The century
ever. Most anticipated game ever is going to be a tight race between Duke Nukem Forever and Half-Life Episode 3.
Has that been announced for next year?
No, but it's in the running for the game
it's,
that
it's,
somebody
yeah,
wants.
No, it's been in the running for a game that will maybe come out
it should
sometime.
Should happen at
ever.
Some before we all die.
Hopefully, I can only pray.
So let's do 3. What do we got?
Name your 3.
Gears of War 3, Mass Effect 3, Bulletstorm. That's what I've got.
Okay. I will go with Bulletstorm, Mass Effect 3, and Metal Gear Solid Rising.
Mass Effect 3, Metal Gear Solid Rising, Uncharted 3.
There's only one game in there
I mean,
that all three of
that's
us
all
have.
Three of us
but then
really
there's nothing for it.
There's like, nothing to say that will actually be a good game, except
it,
for the fact that you see N7
is it
armor.
Factually announced that it is next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's at the end of that thing.
Well,
it says,
then what else needs to be said? Because this is a great segue into...
That's fine. Mass Effect 3, most anticipated game for
and why is that?
Because our game of the year for this year is Mass Effect 2.
Yep.
No Mass question Effect about 2. It. Unfortunately, there's no... reason to discuss it.
Yeah.
I mean
it does a lot of things right, very little things wrong.
If any.
Yeah.
I went back to it in the past month and played through the downloadable content and fuck that game is great.
Yeah. I should go back and play it tonight.
The only thing I would have liked in that game was just more armor.
The only thing I didn't like about that game is how they kind of took away from the RPG elements of the first one.
And I liked that.
I liked it. I thought it was funny.
I liked the streamlining of the RPG.
I thought there was just enough of it that I still enjoyed micromanaging that shit.
Absolutely. I think there's some good contenders out there, like Red Dead Redemption, I think is very... can make a strong case.
Oh, yeah. Like, best Western game I've ever played.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. There's only been about five of them.
Not that there were many. But it's like, yo, they did it right. And now it will be really hard to make another one like that.
And I know your love for Transformers spans even into this category.
Oh, right? Yes. Transformers, it's in every single category except for most or biggest disappointment.
I threw in Sam and Max on my list too, because Sam and Max Devil's Playhouse, I really think, has changed adventure games in my eyes, and I am more stoked than ever to play everything that Telltale produces in the future, because their adventure games are awesome, and Sam and Max are hilarious, and I want to play more of that. But Mass Effect 2,
that is as close to an MMO as you're gonna get without an MMO. I feel like just the world around you and the characters
that's called Fallout.
I feel like that game is what a single player game needs to be. Like it is the mold that all single besides
the only that would have been like I don't know the moral choices need to have a third choice.
Like a gray.
I need a gray choice.
Your gray choices don't press the button, John.
I know, but no,
it's
I'm trying to remember what I said about it when we were talking about these. I just wish that every choice was good, bad, or nothing.
A third paragon. Yeah, because it's not like everybody in the world is
100% evil. Because sometimes the choice was do the good thing or do nothing.
Right, but then a lot of the other times it was.
Do the bad thing.
Well, it was do the really good thing or just kind of be cool with it.
Yeah.
Or do the really jerk thing or just kind of be cool with it.
And there's no benefits in that game to going middle of the road either.
No, there's not. I mean, the problem with video games is that gray area.
Yeah, that's the gray area. It, like, for what they already have in that game, it would be so much.
About this, didn't we? We've talked about gray areas in games many times.
It would be so difficult for them to scope another road that you would have to take for the gray area.
I feel that Renegade isn't bad. Like Renegade is you're a dude who's gonna get your hands dirty, that's do some true. dirt, but it's for the greater good, and you're like, yeah, it may not be the most like benevolent thing to do to just straight up kick this dude out a window,
punch that reporter in the face.
I'm sick of dealing with this guy, and yeah, like we need to progress because there are greater things at hand than dealing with your stupid crap.
I don't need to deal with your bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to clean this window on the floor?
Or the other end of it is where it's like, you know, if you can, you know, still help out people in this grand nonsensical world galaxy ending catastrophe thing, then that's cool too. Or if you just so happen to be able to play it both ways, and that's great, then more power to you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I had the best of both worlds, because I imported a Renegade character by accident, and I was able to play full Paragon and full Renegade, and pop out one and get the 3/4 of the way on the other, so I was able to hit every decision whenever I wanted it. Like, great, I'm going to just do everything. I'm gonna murder dudes.
The fourth road.
Okay, and then
The fourth road.
On top of this, also, I have to say, like, this is how super excited I was about Mass Effect 2 once I started playing it. Like, even after seeing you play it, I was excited more to just like get my hands on a copy and play that. That I played through it twice, and still I am 100% stoked for Mass Effect 2 for PS3.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play that game again. And that's a perfectly good reason for me to do it, because it gives me all of the DLC, which will be fun for me to play through. And I'd be totally willing to play through it all again. And I'm really excited to know more about Mass Effect 1 without actually having to play Mass Effect 1.
I think
1.
The motion comic is a really cool thing.
A great idea. I'm totally willing to sit through and read a comic.
But what is the last game you played that was able to import your character from the previous game
Dragon Age.
All the decisions that you made from the last game?
Dragon Age.
Dragon Age was? Or how do you
Dragon Age Origins Awakening.
So the downloadable content thing was the last game you were thinking?
Transfer all that crap.
Except it didn't matter what you did in the last game because...
Fable 3?
No.
It didn't matter.
You couldn't do that.
That's unconfirmed. It's supposedly your character will be referenced as...
I'm saying the world around you has been affected by your decisions.
No games have really done that.
That's freaking awesome.
Not that I can think of it. No, that is great. It is great that a game completely transitions like that. And that's something you can be totally excited for Mass Effect 3. Mass Effect 3 confirmed or not confirmed? PS3, Xbox.
Both. Same time, simultaneous release. Yep.
Really?
Yes. And that's it for our podcast. We got to cut it off right now. Meow. But game of the year, 2010, Mass Effect 2. Thanks for listening to Boss Battle Radio.
Who the
See
boss?
See you next year.